It provides treatment for cancer patients. So we're discussing oncology care. Our guest is Dr. Jason Hsu. He's an oncologist with Jefferson Healthcare. This is To Your Health, the podcast from Jefferson Healthcare. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, doctor. Welcome.
Yeah, hi.
Great to have you aboard. We appreciate the time. So first, in a nutshell, doc, what would you say initially drew you to both healthcare and specifically oncology?
Yeah, it's a long story. I grew up in South Korea, right? So when I was young, I could not find my purpose of my life. So I wandered around the world for almost 2 years. Then I landed in New York where I had training. During that time, I fell in love with a cancer patient. So that's why I became an oncologist.
That's awesome. And so you're actually one of two new medical oncologists at Jefferson Healthcare. What drew you to Jefferson?
It's also a long story, but I used to practice in Chicago for almost 20 years, and I was looking for some place where nature, I really enjoy hiking, right? So where there are a lot of trees, and that this is where it is, right? Originally, I had the option of working at the Fred Hutchinson, and also I was offered some directorship at MultiCare, which is a big practice in Tacoma. But ultimately, I decided to really enjoy the small town and serve the community. That's why I came to here, Port Townsend. It's a very small town. Hospital is 25 bed and the population is 10,000. Yeah, so I really enjoy being here.
I can tell. So that being said, what do you specialize in? What kinds of patients do you normally see?
So I told you I had 7 years of training. So I had a training in hematology. I had a training in oncology. Then I had a training in bone marrow transplantation, right? So I see both kind of patients. One is a oncology patient, means a cancer patient, right? The other one is a hematology patient, which has mainly the blood problem, like anemia or blood count problem and the coagulation. So when I was young, I did transplantation, but I don't do it anymore. So I'm just doing a hematology and oncology, rural general population care.
And so since you deal with both cancer and blood, can you discuss the importance of having blood tests regularly as we get older, especially for those that may be considered at higher risk for blood cancers?
Yes. Well, I see a lot of times patient never had the CBC for 5, 10 years, right? Then all of a sudden develop major problem like a leukemia, then the blood count's going to be completely abnormal, right? So that's why, generally speaking, at least once a year, I think it's better to do a blood test. There are a lot of blood problems as you get older. It's called the bone marrow disorder. Okay, medical term is called the myelodysplastic syndrome. These are coming on very slowly, so that's why it's very important to do CBC. This is a complete blood count, right? At least once a year, make sure all your blood counts are okay.
Absolutely. And so when we talk about blood cancer, doctor, what patients are at higher risk?
Well, actually, age is the highest risk, right? So if you look at the blood counts problem, it's most commonly called the myelodysplastic syndrome, which is a bone marrow disorder. Your bone marrow is an organ too, right? And it just doesn't function well. So over age is 70, right? There is instances about 2%, means one out of 50 general population has low blood counts because of the bone marrow problem called myelodysplastic syndrome. So I see a lot of those cases here.
And so what's typically done to address that?
Right. So mainly when you have anemia, we'll give an injection called the Procrit. And also there is a newer injection called the Reblozyl. These are the injections that we can improve the anemia. Then when you have a low white blood cell and a low platelet count, you end up giving bone marrow modifying drug, which is called azacitidine. So there are many different treatments. Also depend on your gene abnormality. Sometimes we use a pill called the Revlimid. So there are a lot of different treatments.
Gotcha. Now, obviously, your cancer patients, doctor, are often going through a very challenging time, to say the least. And I know you said you try to treat your parents like they're part of your family. So what do you mean by that?
Well, as I told you, I was in New York, right? I was doing internal medicine training. Then I really fell in love with a cancer patient, right? So whenever you face mortality, right, you just become true yourself, right? So I really enjoy guiding those patients. And generally speaking, I really treat my patient like my friend, right? I really will try to guide them, help them, right? And also like my family, right? Really, there's really no other agenda that I truly enjoy, because I think my job is a job that I can truly influence my patient and truly improve their quality of living. There are a lot of oncologists just don't pay attention at the end of the life care, and they just give up chemotherapy almost until the patient is dead, right? So my practice, I really look at the patient individually like my friend, right? A lot of my patients are really my friend, right? I really try to decide that any kind of chemotherapy, when I give it to them, can it really increase the quality of living, right? This is most important, because I have a lot of elderly population. This is retirement town, okay? 75% of our population is the retiree. So there are a lot of 80, 85, 90, 93-year-old male. These are really, really fragile people, right? So unless you're convinced that you can really improve their quality of living, means we have to make sure that treatment side effect really does not affect them, right? So what is the point of you living longer when you cannot function well and truly enjoy the life, right? So as soon as I decide that whatever I do, I cannot really improve the quality of living, I tend to refer those patients to the hospice, because the most important thing is that all of us are going to die, right? When you die, what I try most is decrease suffering, right? There are some situations that I cannot cure the patient, then I really don't try to give them any kind of a treatment, because if I give them some treatment, they're going to just a little bit longer with the miserable condition. So whenever there's no possibility of a cure, especially with the older patient, right, it's better not to treat them and to concentrate on the hospice care. So their lifespan can be shorter and they suffer less that way. So this is where I put most of my emphasis. So sometimes it's a very difficult decision. So I do a lot of a difficult discussion with the patient, mainly because a lot of people just don't expect that they're going to eventually die. They pretend they're going to live forever, right? But there's no such a thing, you know? We all die at some point. So as I said, when you die, you want to suffer least, right? That's where I really guide the patient, that really serve them as much as I can.
I'm sure that's very comforting for people to hear. So switching gears just a little bit, Doctor, Jefferson Healthcare, as you well know, recently opened its Castleview wing, including a radiation oncology clinic. So why is it so important that Jefferson now offers both radiation oncology and medical oncology?
So what happened is, for all this time here, we didn't have a radiation facility. So a patient has to travel almost 2 hours going back and forth to the either Silverdale or the Squim, right? The problem with the oncology care is that they're saying most of cancers, you never cure them with chemotherapy alone. And also you never cure them with the radiation treatment alone. So like head and cancer, lung cancer, blood cancer, what have you, most of cancer, we do both. So when we give a chemotherapy, radiation become much more effective. That's how we cure the patient. So a lot of cancers, we have to give both the chemotherapy and the radiation treatment. So when we don't have a radiation facility, right, that creates a lot of logistical issues, especially a lot of elderly people, right? They don't drive well, right? So that's why when I came here, they just opened the radiation treatment, and I was so happy that it's very interesting. Jefferson is a tiny bitty hospital with a 25 bed, right? And actually, when I was working actually in Olympia prior to this job, I saw so many delays in care because there is not enough services, right? You know, surprisingly, this is a tiny town, but now we have almost all services, so there's no delay in care. So that's extremely important thing. So radiation treatment is just essential. You cannot do without it, right? So now my patient, they see me in my office. Next building is radiation oncology, right? So we coordinate. It's really easy, and that they are getting the best care, by the way.
That's great. So, any new technology or other treatment innovations in oncology right now that you're most excited about?
Well, I'll tell you this way, right? So I became an oncologist after 7 years of training. I became a board certified oncologist in 1997, right? So that's 28 years ago. At the time, I had only two or three chemo. That's it, right? Nowadays, the last chemotherapy approved by FDA is more than 10 years away. So we are completely done with the chemo. Chemotherapy, regular chemotherapy causes a lot of side effects, right? It's just there has been mind-boggling amount of new information that we are learning from the cancer. So nowadays, we routinely analyze all the cancer cells' gene information. Then we target those mutations. So this is just past 3 years, right? It became a routine practice now. This is literally mind-boggling if you think about it, right? So when the University of Washington did a human genome project, it took $1 billion to analyze all human genome, right? Guess how much it costs now? It's about $1,700. $1 billion shrank to $1,700, and still the cost is going down continuously. So because of this technology improvement, we can do a gene test much easier, much cheaper. So nowadays, literally every cancer patient, I do a complete gene test on the cancer. So we can treat a much better way. So a lot of times we are targeting the gene mutation that caused the cancer. That's the most exciting area. And we do better and better now.
Wow, it's really something, isn't it?
Yes. If you think about it, right? I mean, this is just mind-boggling amount of new information that we are constantly, the understanding of the cancer cell, it's mind-boggling how much we understand each individual cancer cells, the proliferation mechanism. So we attack all those proliferation signals. So if you look at most interesting area is, I told you, we do origin test, right? The next interesting area is really, we call it the chemotherapy antibody conjugate. So there are a lot of cancers produce some antigen, right? We develop the antibody to those antigen, right? Then we push chemo to the cancer cell only without ever damaging the regular cell. So it's called a drug antibody conjugate. Now there are lots of them. And this is a major area that regular chemo, you can literally never take more than 6 months because it affects all of your body. There are a lot of side effects, right? I have a patient who is on drug antibody conjugate more than 1.5 years, no problem, because this chemotherapy is just pushed into the cancer cell only using by the link between cancer cells antigen expression. We develop antibody to it and they just push the chemo to the cancer cell only. So it's a mind-boggling technology, if you think of it. And first, drug antibody conjugate became available almost like 7 to 8 years. Now, this area is exploding because you are really looking at the treatment that it's so easy to the patient. We don't need to damage their body as side effects, right? Because chemo will go into the cancer cell only, not the rest of the body, right? So this is a major area of improvement, and that we continuously now new medications coming out. As we understand more, it's cancer cells, we develop antibody, then we link those antibody to the chemotherapy and push chemo into the molecular level cells. Yeah. So that's the most exciting area.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. It seems like in so many different branches of medicine nowadays, that preciseness that you're talking about becomes the key ingredient. Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with oncology care. Dr. Suh, keep up all your great work. A pleasure. Thanks so much again.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And for more information, please visit jeffersonhealthcare.org. If you found this podcast helpful, please do share it on your social media. Thanks so much again for being part of To Your Health, the podcast from Jefferson Healthcare.